Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we'll celebrate the birthdays of Harry Woods, Tommy Morton, and Daniel Decatur Emmett, hear from Arnold Johnson, and listen to this past week in recording history. Last week, November 4th, marked the birth in 1896 in Massachusetts of composer, lyricist, and pianist Harry McGregor Woods. His first songwriting success came in 1923 with I'm Going South, written with Abner Silver, which was a hit in 1924 for Al Jolson. The same year, Paddlin' Madeline Home was published with words and music by Woods, and it became a hit for Cliff Edwards in 1925. By 1926, Woods had become an established songwriter on Tin Pan Alley, and he became legendary with such hits as When the Red, Red Robin Comes Bob, Bob, Bobbin' Along, and I'm Looking Over a Four-Leaf Clover. In 1929, Woods began writing for Hollywood musicals and came up with hits including Try a Little Tenderness and Lovable. In 1934, he moved to London, where he lived for 3 years and worked for the British film studio Gaumont British Films, contributing to the films It's Love Again and Evergreen. Woods wrote words and music for most of his songs, but he also collaborated with Mort Dixon, Howard Johnson, Arthur Freed, Rube Bloom, and Gus Kahn. Around 1945, he retired to Glendale, Arizona, where he passed away on January 14, 1970. Here are three from Harry M. Woods.
Thank you. four leaf clover that I overlooked before. Why, one leaf is sunshine, the second is rain, third is the roses that grow in the lane. No need explaining, the one remaining is somebody I adore. Why, I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before.
Oresti and his Queensland Orchestra recording for Edison on March 24, 1927, and I'm Looking Over a Four-Leaf Clover, written by Mort Dixon and Harry Woods. The vocalist is credited as Jack Davis, who is also listed as trumpeter in the band. Oresti in Oresti and his Queensland Orchestra refers to Oresti Magliaccio, pianist and leader of the band, and the Queensland in Oresti and his Queensland Orchestra refers not to Australia, but to the Queensland nightclub, which was located on Wyckoff Avenue in Brooklyn, where the band played from 1926 to 29. Before Four Leaf Clover, we heard Jack Lynx and his Birmingham Society Serenaders recording in Atlanta in August of 1925, and Oh, How She Can Love. We began our tribute to Harry Woods with Edwin J. McAnally's orchestra and All of the Time. The vocal refrain on that October 8, 1928 Victor recording was by Jim Miller and Charlie Farrell. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, October 28th, marked the birth in 1894 of Thomas Monaco, better known as founder of the original Indiana Five, Tommy Morton. He didn't graduate from high school, but did become proficient as a drummer and served in the U.S. Navy during World War I, after which he had jobs working in the Naval Shipyard in Brooklyn and for a trolley line in Connecticut. He then formed the original Indiana Five, which made its debut in 1919 or 1920 at the Harvard Inn on Coney Island. The OI Five was the first band to play over radio stations WOR and WMCA, and beginning in the summer of 1925, the band played at Brooklyn's Rosemont Ballroom, where they remained until at least the summer of 1929. The OI Five broke up in early 1930, after which Morton tried unsuccessfully to manage four different bands during the 1930s. During the early 40s, he worked as a manager at the Rialto Ballroom, and after World War II, he managed the Palladium Ballroom in New York City. Tommy Morton died while gambling in Nevada in 1979. Here are three from the original Indiana Five. Thank you. We began our tribute to Tommy Morton with the original Indiana Five around July 14, 1925, and Croonin' a Tune, written by Sammy Fain, Irving Weil, and Jimmy McHugh. Next, it was the OI Five and Jubilee Blues, written by Maurice Abrams. That, of course, was an instrumental version, but there are lyrics to the song which were written by Henry Creamer. That's from a Perfect 78 recorded in January of 1924. Tommy Morton played drums on the original Indiana Five recordings, but because of the technological limitations, not much of his playing is actually heard. But his contribution was a little more audible in the last record of that set, Cowbell Blues, from October of 1924. Well, Christopher Walken just came into the studio.
I gotta have more cowbell.
All right.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Well, all right, just one more.
That's silly.
Yes, it is.
You're listening to Glenn Robison's Rapidly Rotating Records, 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 1930s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. Sunday evenings at 6 on Island Radio KISL-FM Avalon, or anytime at all, streaming online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com.
Last week, I received a nice email from listener Len in Linden, Washington, thanking me for the Spike Hughes segment last week and asking if I had any records by Arnold Johnson and his orchestra. Bandleader Arnold Johnson studied piano at the Chicago Musical College and the American Conservatory of Music, after which he worked in vaudeville as an accompanist and soloist. In the late 20s, his band was in the George White Scandals and Greenwich Village Follies, and in the 30s, he was a musical director and producer on radio, including the National Amateur Night in 1935 and 36. And as a matter of fact, I just added several Arnold Johnson records to the playlist last week, and here they are.
Thank you.
down, la da down. start making honey, honey. What's the reason winter turns to spring?
The flowers in their bowers, not a pleasant greeting. Every bell a cheery howdy-do.
What could be sweeter?
Why, the smile from everyone I'm meeting.
Arnold Johnson and his orchestra by way of request from listener Len in Linden, Washington. We began with After My Laughter Came Tears from February 28, 1928. The vocal refrain was by Bobby Cavanaugh, Roy Ingram, and William McGee, as well as Bobby Burns, reed man, Harold Arluck, before he changed his name to Arlen, and who played piano in the band, and Gerald Gillis. After My Laughter Came Tears was written by Roy Turk and Charlie Tobias and was followed by Da Silva, Brown, and Henderson's Together. Roy Ingram was the vocalist on that March 26, 1928, Brunswick recording. Next, we heard What's the Reason, written by Harold Atteridge and Maury Rubens. The vocal trio there was Roy Ingram, Roy Strom, and Harold Arluck, who was also the arranger. We finished up with Get Your Man from the same session as What's the Reason, April 9th, 1928. Arnold Johnson was also a composer, and on next week's show we'll have a segment devoted to Arnold Johnson's songs played by others. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL FM 88.7 Avalon, streaming online at KISL.org, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. Last week, October 29th, marked the birth in 1815 in Mount Vernon, Ohio, of Daniel Decatur Emmett. He was self-taught on the fiddle and as a teenager wrote the first of his hundreds of compositions, Old Dan Tucker. He joined the U.S. Army, but his military career was cut short when it was discovered he had been less than truthful about his age when he enlisted. He performed with several circus bands until 1843, when, along with three other minstrels, he formed a group called the Original Virginia Minstrels. The group debuted at New York's Bowery Amphitheater on February 6, 1843, with Emmett on fiddle, Frank Brower on bones, Billy Whitlock on banjo, and Dick Pelham playing tambourine. The group was a hit, but broke up the following year after a tour of Great Britain. Emmett joined Bryant's Minstrels in New York and in 1859 composed his most famous song, Dixie's Land, which became a hit on both sides of the Mason-Dixon line and eventually became known as just Dixie. It became associated with the South, much to Emmett's dismay, he being a staunch Unionist. After the Civil War, Emmett again performed the song in the 1880s with Levitt's Gigantian Minstrels. Daniel Decatur Emmett performed into his 80s and died at his birthplace of Mount Vernon, Ohio on June 28, 1904. So here to commemorate Daniel Decatur Emmett's birthday are some rapidly rotating records about Dixie.
and the porter's there, trying hard to raise his fare. You see Rufus Johnson gambling his dough away, down on his knees with a dotted ivories. You can hear old Rufus say, 7 or 11 means Dixieland for me, means I'm gonna see my mammy down in sunny Alabama. 7 or 11, that's what it's got to be. It means the scenes I'm longing for, the Swanee and the Sippy and the Ginny Shore. It means I lose the blues, means a hat and shoes, means an overcoat and cane. Means I'll have my fare a little bit to spare, means I'm on the midnight train. Come on, you 7 or 11, oh boy, won't that be nice. I'll be on my merry way to heaven with my Dixie paradise. Come on, 7 or 11, come on, you 7 or 11, baby needs a parachute. Keep away. Come on, little Joe, come on. I'm gonna see my mammy down in sunny Alabama. 7 or 11, it's simply gotta be. If I throw 10, if I throw 4, it's never gonna get me to the cabin door. Now's my lucky time, gonna shoot a dime. Small numbers, stay away. Come on and let me lose. If I throw a deuce, it's promo seltzer right away. What's that? It's 7. No, no, it's 11. I knew they'd treat me nice. I could always throw a 7 or 11 with my private tarot die.
Tiny Parham and his musicians, and a Tiny Parham composition, Dixieland Doin's, recorded by Victor on December 3rd, 1929. That was preceded by the last of the Red Hot Mamas, Sophie Tucker, and 7 or 11, My Dixie Paradise, from March of 1923. We began our tribute to Daniel Decatur Emmett with Ben Salvin and his orchestra and Dixieanna, from the radio picture of the same name. Dixieanna was composed by Harry Tierney. Irving Kaufman sang the Benny Davis lyric on August 22, 1930. It's time now for that feature of the program we call This Week in Recording History. So called because it's here that we play rapidly rotating records celebrating birthdays, having been recorded this past week in years past. Here to start off this edition of This Week in Recording History is one of my favorite records.
Thank you.
We began this edition of This Week in Recording History with Edwin J. McAnally's orchestra and What a Blue-Eyed Baby You Are, written by Mitchell Parrish and Jack Hanna. Billy Murray was the vocalist on that November 2, 1925 recording. Next, it was Judd Hill's Blue Devils in Manhattan from a record also made this very day in 1925. We finished up with Ladd's Black Aces and Stop Your Kidding, written by Irving Mills, Ferdy Grofe, and Jimmy McHugh. That Jeanette 78 is having its 83rd birthday this very day. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week and every week for more Rapidly Rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. Thank you for your very kind attention.